That is the new birth. And he imparts unto you a measure of his faith. A measure of his faith. You don't really have your own faith. You have his faith. And what we need to learn how to do is we need to learn how to use what we have been given. Our whole deal, I mean, you're not anything on your own. Everything that you have that's eternal is something that God has given you. And what we have is the responsibility to be managers and growers of what God has given us the ability to do. And so we're going to talk about the formation of faith. We're going to talk about some things that have to do with the forming of our faith, both of what we call the faith, which is our system of belief, but also how is it that we use our faith to live? Because the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Okay? So faith, the faith life is the only way that we can really please God. You're not going to please God with your good works. You're not going to please God with your holy life, because next to him, you're not holy. I mean, if God is our standard of holiness, none of us measure up to that, so we can't please God that way. The only way we can please God is with faith. Abraham was justified by faith. He wasn't justified by the law. Nobody has ever been justified by the law. Nobody has ever been justified by good works. It will never happen. We're only justified by faith. So we're going to talk about some things today. We're going to talk about six aspects of the formation of faith. And I've got a little illustration that I want to do today. And today we're going to talk about the law of capacity. And the law of capacity basically says that I can only receive from God according to my capacity to receive. Now, when we talk about capacity, what are we talking about? The ability. We could be talking, and here's a good way to illustrate it. I've got three things here. Every one of these have a capacity. Let's say that we're digging for gold, pure gold. We can dip that down and we can get a cup full of gold. We can get some gold in there, can't we? Or we can dip down with this one. Can we get more gold with this one? Why? Because this has a greater capacity to receive the gold. Or we can use this one. And we can dip down. Does this have greater capacity to receive? Okay. So the law of faith says that we can only receive from God directly proportioned to our ability or our capacity to receive. So your ability to receive has to do with your capacity to receive. Is there anything that we can do to increase the capacity of this? No. Is there anything that, which one of these do you want to go dip in gold with? How many of you want this one? Does anybody want this one? No, we want this one, don't we? Why? Because we want the fullest capacity that we can possibly get. Now, so here's the law. Write this down. What I want you to do the next 6 weeks, I want you to take these principles home and I want you to begin to meditate on them, because they are going to begin to open you up to increase you in your walk of faith. We are all called to live by faith. That's the highest thing that we got is our faith walk. Okay, so now here's another illustration. I have two things that are equal here. They don't look equal, but they're the same size. One's just a little taller, one's a little bit wider. Now let's say that this one is half full of sand. Which one has the greatest capacity for gold? This one or this one? This one does, doesn't it? Why? Because this one is half full of sand. It will only hold about half of gold. Can we increase the capacity of this one? Yes. How? we dump out the sand. You cannot increase capacities of immaterial things. But when we're talking about people, we can increase our capacities. Because our capacity is the inside of us. It is our spirit and our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotion. So let me say this again, that you can only receive from God in direct proportion to your capacity to receive from God. Some people are very small in their minds. They have small thinking. They have small believing. And they can only receive to a certain level. You remember the statement that the Spirit of God spoke to me? That potential flows out of character, not knowledge. And when I'm talking about being half full of sand, we're talking about things that stop up our lives because of character issues. Now let me name some of those. Fear. Unbelief. Strife. Unforgiveness. Those are the things that decrease our capacity or keep us receiving from God on the level that He wants us to receive from. We know that we were sent here with purpose. Every one of us in this room has a different purpose in life. It is our responsibility, it is our stewardship to increase our capacity so that we can receive all that God has for us. How much of us does God care about? All of us. Every aspect of our life. I've heard people say, well, you know, you shouldn't ask God for things. They haven't read the Bible. You should ask God for things. We should ask God for the necessities of life. We should ask God for things that we desire, if they're godly desires. There's nothing wrong with us asking God for things because He tells us. Even what we call the Lord's Prayer, He says, and give us this day our what? Daily bread. Is bread things? Now, that's not all we should believe God for. We should believe God for other things also. One of the things that I trust God for is increased influence. That's what I want. Why? Because I want us to take as many people to heaven as we can take to heaven. And that comes through influence. That comes through lots of ways. So I'm believing God for increase in influence. So if I'm going to be more influential, what do I have to do? I have to increase my capacity to receive that from God. That means that if I've got sand in my heart, if I've got things in my heart, if I have attitudes or things like that in my heart, I have got to deal with that because potential flows out of character, not knowledge. Are you following me? This is not rocket science. This is pretty simple stuff. Now I want to read Romans 1:20. It says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, talking about God, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That basically tells us that all creation reflects God's attributes. That all creation shows us what God is like. God does not operate one way and create His creation a different way. The very nature and attributes of God are reflected in everything that He's created. In fact, everything that we see, everything around us, every principle flows out of God's character, who He is. So we can look at some things in nature and it can help us understand something about God. In fact, the Bible tells us that God lives in unapproachable light. We can look at the sun. How long can you look at the sun? Not very long. I had an eye test the other day, and they shine this bright light in your eye. And I mean, I said, man, I don't like that. He says, well, you wouldn't want to look at this very long. God lives in an unapproachable light. We could not look at the sun very long. Can you imagine what kind of light God lives in? But it's reflected in all of His creation. Everything about creation shows us something about God. There's some laws of nature that I want to talk about. Some of these are scientific laws. There's four of them I want to go over very quickly, and then I want to talk about increasing our capacity to receive from God. The first one is the law of entropy. And this basically says that things left unattended tend toward chaos. We've been very busy for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've had, my father-in-law has been in the hospital. He's been sick since he's passed away. We've been getting ready for church camp. We've had church camp. We just had a buku of things coming around in the church. And it seems like we've been gone all the time. Kathy and I took a little trip, and you know, we were gone last weekend. And my yard has been unattended. And right now, if you look at my yard, it tends towards chaos. Does anybody know what I mean? What happens when in your house, if you don't clean your house, it tends towards what? Towards chaos. You know, Ethan and Jackson comes over, when they leave, the house looks like chaos. If you grew a garden this year, you know, you might have tilled the ground and got rid of all the weeds and got everything nice and fertilized and watered, and you put the seed in the ground. But what happens if you go away and you leave it unattended? It goes towards what? Chaos. The same thing is true with our spiritual lives. The same thing is true with every aspect of our being, our mental life. That which is left unattended tends towards chaos. There's a lot of folks that get saved and they think, okay, I'm through. No, you're not through. You just started. One thing that I've learned about Christianity, that's all about new starts. You never get through. As long as you live in this life, you're going to have new starts. You're going to accomplish this, and it just opens the door to a new start. And if you leave that unattended, guess what happens to your spiritual life? It begins to tend towards chaos. If you leave your mind unchecked and unattended, guess what it begins to do? It begins to tend towards chaos. We don't need chaos in our life, do we? If you got chaos in your life, you might need to take a look at some things. The second one is called the law of cause and effect. And the law of cause and effect says everything happens for a reason. Now, listen to what I didn't say. Everything that happens, happens for God's purpose. I didn't say that. But everything that happens in life happens for a reason. It's the old Genesis law, the law of seed time and harvest. There's nothing that happens in the earth that does not have a cause and an effect. The law of seed time and harvest was created, or it's part of God, but it was given to us to work for us. But guess what? Many times, because of sin, because of Adam's sin, because of our sin, because of our neglect, because of our ups and downs, many times the law of cause and effect works against us. What we need to learn how to do is always have it working for us and not against us. And there's a lot of sand in our life sometimes because of things that we've neglected and we've sown bad seed. The next one is called the law of hysteresis. And this says the tendency of material is to revert back to its original shape once the pressure changing it is removed. In other words, we can hear a new truth. Okay? You can hear a word and you can start changing your life. But if you remove that word or you remove yourself from that word, your tendency is to go back to your old lifestyle. I see this all the time. You know, maybe you have had a habit in your life. Let's don't use drugs and alcohol. We always use drugs and alcohol. I understand that we are a church of recovery, that we talk about recovery, and I believe that every human being is in some form of recovery. We're recovering from something. But you could have a habit. Maybe it's overeating, maybe it's you name it. But let's say that we have all these smoking. It could be lots of things. It could be gossiping. And you hear a word and you think, okay, I need to change that. And you hear this word and you meditate on this word and you begin to change. And then all of a sudden you begin to neglect this word. Your tendency is to return to your old lifestyle. And we don't need that, do we? We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is the Word of God that changes the way that we think. Now, the last law that we're going to talk about is the law of motion. And this basically says anything in motion stays in motion unless acted upon by an opposite and equal force. Let's look at this where fear is concerned. Let's say fear. People have fear in their life. You know, fear continues on until it is... till it encounters an opposite and equal force that stops it. So there's a lot of negative things that happen in our life that continue to happen because of the law of motion. They just continue to happen because there's never any opposing force in our lives that stops that from happening. Listen, folks. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, the path of least resistance leads us to sin and the flesh. That is our natural tendency. When you quit doing the things that you know you need to do, that is your tendency, is to revert back to the flesh, the old habits, the old lifestyle, and that until you get your mind renewed. I believe you can have victory, okay? Now, but victory don't mean that you quit. Victory means that you learn a way of living that keeps you growing and overcoming. Okay? You don't have to live in the flesh. You don't have to live defeated. You can live an overcoming Christian life in every area of your life. I don't care what your hurt, your habit, your hang-up, your problem is. You can live an overcoming life. Even where your health is concerned, you can receive divine health from God. But it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just fall and hit you on the head like a piece of fruit falling off a tree. It doesn't happen that way. That's not God's way. Folks, let me prophesy to you. Can I give you a word that it's not from God, but it's a good prediction. Probably not any of you is going to win the lottery or the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. If you think that that's your answer, then you've got a whole wrong misconception about God. I wonder how many people buy the lottery ticket or enter the sweepstakes and they're believing God to win that thing. Now, Lord, if you do that, I'll do this and I'll do that for you. Did you know that that's not God? Now, that could happen. Okay. I will say that could happen. But you know the chances of that are slim. Don't base your life upon some happen chance, some huge odds, when you've got something that is sure as the Word of God. A way of life called the way of faith. The living, the lifestyle of faith, where you can continue to grow, you can prosper, you can be healthy, you can grow spiritually, you can have influence, you can fulfill your purpose in life, and you can live a fulfilled Christian life. Can you say amen? Okay, let me talk very fast because I've got about 7 more minutes that I can talk. I want to talk how do we increase our capacity? And we're going to start with something that's very basic, and we're going to go from there. Number one, that faith comes out of a relationship with God. It starts with a relationship with God. This is one thing that we as mature believers, we need to remind people when we talk to them, that everything that God does in our life comes out of a relationship with Him. If you don't have a relationship with God, you're in trouble. Can I just say it honestly? And I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about inviting Jesus into your life, turning your life over to Christ. Now, God loves you, but there's very little that He can do for you that has eternal value until He has a relationship with you. Can I say this? God doesn't want to date you. God is not looking for a dating relationship. God is looking for marriage. You know why? Because God wants to produce children. And He wants to do that through you. He wants to do that through our relationship. God has chosen. God could have done it another way, but He chose to partner with mankind to accomplish His task in the earth. But He will not do that apart from a relationship with you. He wants a marriage. He wants a relationship. A lot of folks want a date. They want intimacy. They want the intimacy. But they don't want a marriage, okay? That's about as plain as I need to get with that. God is not looking for a one-night stand. He's not looking for a dating relationship. He's looking for marriage. Because He's got a purpose. And that purpose has to do with increase. Look at your neighbor and say, increase! Increase! We need to be increasing in every area of our lives, especially the areas that we're called to. So it comes out of a relationship. Number two, it comes out of a quality fellowship with the Lord. Once you have a relationship, guess what? There needs to be time spent with Him. God, if they could put a meter on us that determines how much time we think about God in a day, we might be embarrassed. And if we put a meter on us that how much time we think about other stuff that's important to us as compared to how much time we think about God, who is supposed to be number one in our lives, we might be embarrassed. We need to improve the quality of our fellowship with God. You know, when you come to church, you ought to be a worshiper. You ought to be here on purpose. You shouldn't come here out of obligation, out of duty. You should come here because you're ready to worship God. You ought to walk out of these doors, and when you're riding down the road, I love to worship God. When I'm riding down the road, I get over in the Spirit, and boy, I have a time with the Lord, just me and Jesus, all by ourselves, in the Spirit, having a time, worshiping God, thinking, meditating on the things of God. So quality, a quality fellowship. Number three, you have to deal with the negatives in your life. God is not a negative God. He could be very easy. No, He couldn't be, because He's not negative. But we could give Him reason to be negative if he was that way. He said something one time. He says, "I am the Lord and I change not, and that's why you're not destroyed." God is good. God loves us. He doesn't change from. You better be glad. If God was moody like you and temperamental like you, oh my gosh, half of us wouldn't be here. God's not like that. He's consistent all the time. God's not a negative God. He's a positive God. So we need to deal with our negatives. Why? Because the negatives in our life becomes the sand that fills up our heart. Whether it's fear, whether it's sin, whether it's strife, whether it's unbelief or whatever it is. Maybe it's a distraction. Maybe it's putting something else first. Married, but you're having an affair. I'm talking spiritual now. You're married to God, but you put something else before Him in your life. That's called adultery, spiritual adultery. God does not want to be second. He wants to be first. And that decreases your capacity to receive from God. So dealing with the negatives. Number four, filling your mind with the positive. Filling your mind with the positive. God gave you a brain. Use it. Think. You know, we use the word amusement. And I've said this before, I say it again. Muse means to think. Amuse means not think. It's amazing how we go home at night many times and we turn on the amusement box so that we don't have to think. It's amazing because some people can't stand this. You turn the box off and it's quiet, and you're left to your thoughts. you don't know what to do. We need quiet time. We need time to think positive thoughts. We need time to think. Not worry, not fear, but think on the positive. They say, you sound like one of them feel-good preachers. I'll tell you what, I'd rather feel good and bad any day, hadn't you? I hear that all the time. All them guys are just feel-good preachers. Would you want to sit under a feel-bad preacher? Dude. Okay. Moving along. We got to go here in a minute. I want to talk about number 6, the role of meditation in your life. Number 5, fill your mind with the promises. Okay, that'll get us to 6. Fill your mind with the promises. Find the promises of God. And this is how you go from the negative to the promise. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There are some in Him scriptures. There's over 150 scriptures in the New Testament that talks about in Christ, in Him, in the beloved. You ought to look those up. You ought to fill your mind. You'll begin to see yourself different than you've ever seen yourself before. You'll see God's opinion of you rather than your opinion of you. God, you know, God has a higher opinion of you than you have, most of you, than you have of you. Some of you got pretty influence. Some of us can have a pretty inflated opinion of ourselves, and it's not based on reality. But God has a high opinion of you based on His purpose for you. Okay, then number 6, the role of meditation. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." He says, "For then that you may observe to do it, for then you shall be successful in everything that you do." That's a paraphrase. You shall be successful in everything that you do. We want to be successful, but we want God to do everything apart from us. God wants to bless you through you. Now, let me tell you the difference. Let's go back to the lottery thing. Which person is better off? The person who wins the lottery or the person through wisdom builds wealth? You know, they did a show not long ago on people who have won the lottery. A lot of them are broke, bankrupt, poor. You know why? They didn't have the capacity to maintain the thing that came into their life. What God wants to happen in your life, and this is why He chooses to work through you, in you. He wants to bless you through you. Because it begins to chisel your character and your wisdom. And remember, potential is released in what? Character, not knowledge. Now, character comes through knowledge, applied knowledge. But it's not just knowledge. As God begins to work in you, He works through you, your character is strengthened. Your potential level is raised. Listen, you have an unlimited potential as a believer in Jesus Christ. You're not limited by your limitations. When you get into this realm, you are catapulted into His limitations where there are none. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. Okay. So we need to meditate on the Word of God, the promises of God. Now, let me challenge you to do something. I'm about out of time. Let's challenge you to do something. Here's something I've been doing lately. I've been considering the attributes of God. And I've taken one of those and I meditate on an attribute of God. Now, I want to challenge you to do this, especially you who have been in Christ a long time. Maybe it's His omnipresence. What does that mean? Think about that. Spend some time when you're driving it. Turn the radio off. Think about His omnipresence. And what does that mean? And how does that affect me? And how does that change my view of what God is like? You know what this is going to do? This is going to strengthen your capacity to receive, because it increases your capacity to see God in a different light. Maybe it's His omnipotence. He has all power. Maybe it's His omniscience. He has all knowledge. Maybe it's His mercy. Maybe it's His grace. Maybe, here's a big one, His love. All of these are attributes of God. And if you will meditate on these, it's going to change your picture of what God is like. You can go to your Bible and you can find things that begin to express this. And it's amazing how you will view God. Every one of us have a picture of what they think God is like. And it's peanut. It's finite. God is infinite. Okay. I wish I could talk more about that. Number 7, the place of repentance. Every one of us will have to repent. What does that mean? Change. Change the way that you think. Because all of these things that I've talked about will cause you to change the way that you think. And when you begin to change the way that you think, your capacity to receive from God is going to increase. Let's pray. Father, thank You today. Thank You so much for Your love and Your grace. Thank You that You've given us a wonderful gift called faith. And Lord, You've given us a stewardship of this to develop it, to live in it, to live by it, and to walk it. We thank You and we praise You for that today in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. I need to give you an opportunity in some way before God today, no matter where you are spiritually, to respond to this. Every one of us need to grow in our faith life. You never get to the end of it. Never, ever, ever will you get to the end of spiritual growth. We got to keep growing, folks. But it begins with a relationship with God. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God. You know about God, you've gone to church, you've been exposed to God, but to say that you have a relationship with God, you really don't. Well, this is one of the things that we want to give you the opportunity to do today, is to establish a relationship with Him. I don't want to ask you to get out of your seat or come up front or do anything that will embarrass you. But if that describes you today, I'd just like for you to say, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. Just slip your hand up and back down. Anybody, anywhere. I need a relationship with God. I don't have a relationship with God. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing. I just need to be saved. I need a relationship with God. Anybody else? Okay. 2. Anyone else? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to pray it together out loud. And we'll go from there.